I want to talk tonight about the fact that, you know, you've heard me over the years sometimes, and we get into meetings, or before meetings, I'll say something about, Father, we believe you for the highest flow for this meeting and your highest plan, and that the ministers that are here, whatever meeting it was, whoever the ministers were, they'll stand in their highest office. You know, if we go for the highest, we get everything between the lowest and the highest. We don't just get the highest and miss everything else. We get it all. And but anyway, so you've heard me pray that way. And I've discovered that, you know, there's the good. Of course, Philippians talks about good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And Jesus said to Brother Hagin when he was in a meeting, whenever he was had a vision one time, Jesus said to Brother Hagin, he said, I have a plan for every meeting. Every service is the way he said. I have a plan for every service. And if that's true, then he has a plan for every series of services. Well, it wouldn't be a stretch to think. Somebody said, well, where's that in the Word? Well, the fact that God has a plan is all through the Word. And why wouldn't he have a plan for when we come together? I mean, he does. He has a plan for when we come together. And so we should be hungry for that plan to come to pass in every service. And, you know, the fact that God has a plan doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. We have to understand that we have a part in that plan coming to pass. And that plan needs laborers. God needs laborers on the earth to cooperate with that plan. Remember, the Bible says we're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And so it's things, when it comes to God's plan, things aren't automatic. They don't just happen because, well, God wills it. Well, how many of you know God wills every person be saved? It's his will that everyone be healed. It's his will that everybody be free from torment and fear and all these things. But there's more to it than God's will. We have to lay hold of God's plan, whether it's individually or collectively, whether the plan is for us individually or collectively. And to do that, I found that laying hold is as much done in prayer as it's done in faith. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. When it comes to moves of God, when it comes to God's plan in times in history, in fact, go to Acts chapter number 3. We'll start there. We'll just look quickly at one of the things he has planned throughout the church age, if you can handle it. But when it comes to God's plan that he has, he needs people on this end to cooperate with it. And so while you're turning to Acts 3, I'll mention this. And this is something that we've shared many times in the past. And we've given you much scripture to substantiate it. I'm not going to go through all those scriptures tonight. One of the benefits of pastoring is you can eventually say, you remember when, and you preached a whole sermon by that statement. Actually, you preached three series of sermons in that statement. If people remember all that was taught, and you don't, and you can do it within 3 seconds. And to get further down the road. But how many remember when we've talked about that it seems that the statement, I was getting ready to make a statement that Smith, John Wesley made. He said, it seems God's limited by our prayer life, that he can't do anything for humanity unless someone asks him. Well, if you're new in the body of Christ or just got saved or have never been taught much about the Bible or prayer or faith or authority of the believer, you'll hear that statement and you'll go, wait a minute. I mean, it doesn't sound right. And but we've said many times, going through many scriptures that proved it out. Where, remember, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Well, if it's the time of the latter rain, why don't you just send it, Lord? Why are you having us ask? Well, the statement Wesley made is true. It seems God's limited by our prayer life. That he can't do anything for humanity unless somebody asks him. That's only one verse. I could go through a dozen right now. Remember, the Bible said, the Lord knows what things you have need of. But then he says, most people put a period there, and that's all they know that verse says. But it says, before you ask. Well, if he knows, why don't he just send it? Why do we have to ask? Well, it seems like God's limited by our prayer life, that he can't do some things unless we ask him. And we could go on and on. Ask ye of the Lord rain. We just gave you that one. Remember, the Bible talks about in James 5, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He said, the harvest is plenteous, in Matthew 9, is it? The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that's going to send the laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send. He's the one that's going to send them. It's his harvest. Amen. It's his laborers. And he's going to do the sending of them. He's the Lord of the harvest. And if it's his will, it's his harvest, and he's going to do the sending, why did he say pray that he would do it? Pray that the harvest, the laborers would be sent. Why on earth would he say that? Unless it seems like God's limited by our prayer life. It does. Those are only what we go through, four verses there. We could go on and on and on. James 5 is one, and Zechariah 10:1, we mentioned that one, and there are many, many verses that bring that out, that God can't just do anything he wants to do. People say, well, God's running everything. Well, he's got it in an awful mess. If he's running everything, he's got it in a mess. No, he's not running everything. There are things that are happening that are not his will, and some things that are his will are not happening. Why? It's his will. Because he can't just sovereignly do whatever he wants. And if you don't understand that, it all goes back to God gave man in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, gave man authority on the earth. You know, Adam lost that authority. But then Jesus came to bring that back. But then he, before he left, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he handed us the keys, said, here's the keys. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So he got it back for us, and he gave it to us, and he went to heaven to wait on us to exercise that authority so he could do something in the earth. Now, that's real quick. There's a lot of foundation we've shared over the years under that truth. But we need to understand that. What about God's plan that he has for every service? Does it happen because we just sleep and play golf and watch TV and then come to church? No. Somebody's got to lay hold of it. Somebody's got to lay hold of it. Notice what God's plan is in Acts 3. Look at verse 19. Peter said it. Well, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said it. But he said, here's the plan. Here's the plan. Jesus had already ascended, and the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts 2. That was God's plan. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was God's plan. They're doing that. And here's Peter preaching after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost fell. And you remember, it got a great crowd. And Peter began his sermon. And they said, basically, what should we do? And Peter said in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Be converted means go another direction. What's that? Believing on Jesus. Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then he said, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Notice times, plural, of refreshing. The Weymouth says seasons of revival. We just found God's plan. From the day that was said until Jesus comes, God's plan was revival after revival after revival after revival after revival after revival after revival. You ever watch the rain, a good solid rain? You look at it closely and you'll see it. It comes in sheets. It comes in waves. There's a sheet comes through and then it comes through again. And then it might lull a little bit and then another thunder and That's the rain of the natural realm, and God's plan for the spirit realm is the same thing. Is that outpouring after outpouring after outpouring. Wonder what God's plan is for next week. I read it in the Bible. God's plan for next week is that it'd be a season of refreshing, time of refreshing, or a season of revival. Amen. Well, okay, so let's sit back, twiddle our thumbs, and watch it happen. It's God's plan, so God just does whatever. Everything is His plan. He just does it without, no, somebody's got to ask Him. Somebody's got to lay hold of it. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. Well, go to chapter 18. We'll just refer to 17. But you know the story about King Ahab and Jezebel. They were very corrupt. And now they're worshiping Baal. And it just got to be a mess. And so in the 17th chapter, you're going to the 18th chapter. But in the 17th chapter, God spoke to, Elijah's in the presence of God. And God said, go down there and tell Ahab that there's not going to be rain. There'll not be any dew or rain these years, but according to my word. In other words, until I say so, it's not going to rain. See, it's judgment's what it is. And it is sin that turns the rain of the Spirit away too. Well, that went on for 3 years plus. No rain. And then it says in the 18th chapter here, it says that, let's just read verse number 41. It says, and Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. And it had been 3 years, no rain. This is that same wicked king. And he said, there's the sound of abundance of rain. I like that. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. It's interesting, though, whenever you're a person of the Spirit, you hear things and see things and know things that most people that are, I'm talking anybody that's carnal, just doesn't even know it's there. That it's God's plan. See, here's Elijah in the Spirit getting God's plan. What's the plan? Rain. He heard it in the Spirit. He got it in the Spirit. One of the things about revivals coming to pass and moves of the Spirit and outpourings of the Spirit and so forth, and we're going to talk about some things I believe God wants to do in this meeting. I don't know everything, but I know some things. One thing is healing. Salvations. And that's part of that's His ministry, evangelist. And salvation's a big part of that. Healing's a big part of that. He has a tremendous healing ministry. His dad had probably the biggest healing ministry in the world in modern day. And he got some of that on him. And so, one of the things about walking in the Spirit and praying concerning God's plan is you see it before everybody else does. And people that are just natural, they don't even know it's coming until it's hit. Yeah. Yeah. It's in full bloom, and then they can get in on it all right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. But see, people like that don't lead it. No. They just get to watch. Yeah. It's people who are people of the Spirit that help pray it out. They're the ones that know how to labor together with God for something to happen. And therefore, they get to participate because God can use people who know not only what He's doing, but how He does it. And one of the ways He does things is prayer. He has somebody ask Him. And so if you're a person of the Spirit, you're way ahead of a lot of things that people don't realize are coming. Does that make any sense? You know, God starts, when it comes to moves of God, moves of the Spirit and so forth, God starts everything that every one of those moves like that, every revival with a remnant, not with the majority. You understand? The remnant lays hold of it before the masses can enter into it. You remember the healing revival? Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin said, I know there were others, but there were only a few that got into the Spirit and had that desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a heart cry, the heart cry of God.
Yeah.
By them spending time in the presence of God, that entered into their heart. God had something in his heart he wanted to do, and by spending time with him, it entered into their heart. And they began to pray and prayed it out, laid hold of it. And then the word of the Lord came, said at the end of World War II, there come a revival of divine healing to America. That was the word of the Lord. They prayed that out. Sure enough, bam, it hit at the end of World War II, a revival of healing to America. Why did that happen? Because it was God's will? No. It was his will, yeah. But it was somebody laid hold of it.
Yes.
Somebody heard the heart of God in prayer.
Yes.
Somebody heard the sound of abundance of rain.
Yes.
Like Elijah.
Yes.
They heard it.
Yes.
They saw it. They perceived it. They understood it. They picked it up in the spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And they gave birth to it. Now notice here, Elijah, he's here, he's hearing these, he's hearing in the spirit what the plan of God is, and he's seeing and hearing things other people don't even see or hear. Remember I said to you what the Lord said about the, not this election, but the next one. You know, a lot of people, they hear that and they're like, huh? Well, you got to get a hold of things way before. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people are just kind of reacting to circumstances.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's not God's plan for you, that you live reacting to circumstances. God's plan is that you're way ahead of the devil and that you know God's plan and participate in what God's plan is and bring God's plan to pass through prayer, faith, and authority of the believer, and also stop the plan of the enemy way before he gets it on. I could get perturbed about it, but I got to walk in love with people. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Just reacting to things. And now, you know, it's getting comfortable in America again, and they're getting lazy again. Reacting. That's the problem. People aren't spiritual. They don't see and hear. You know what I'm talking about? But spiritual people, they see and hear things way before others. And then they labor with God that it come to pass. Isn't that right? Before others even know how it, that what God's plan is. They labor with God for it to come to pass. Now notice, somebody said, how do they labor with God? Well, notice how Elijah labored with God. He said here in verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, he got this in the spirit. You can't do this just pulling something out of the air. I think I'm going to prophesy rain now. No, he's hearing from God. He didn't say there wasn't going to be a rain just because he thought I ought to say that. You know, I'm mad and I'm going to. No, the Bible said, he said that, he said, before whom I stand, God before whom I stand says there's not going to be any rain. So he was in the presence of God and heard what God was saying, that this is going to happen, no rain, until I hear differently and I declare what God's saying. And so then he heard God say, there's going to be, he told Ahab, get up, there's a sound of abundance of rain. But see, he didn't just go home and watch television. Notice what he did in verse 42. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, we don't see much detail about what's going on there, but James 5 tells us what's going on there. It says, Elijah prayed that it might not, prayed that it might not rain, and rain not for the space of 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. So what he's doing here is praying. This is prayer. This him putting his head between his knees, that's a posture of earnest prayer. That's what it is. Am I making any sense tonight? And so James 5 tells us he prayed and the heavens gave rain. And what happens here is he's laboring together with God. He didn't just say this is what God wants to do. He cooperated with God's plan in prayer. And that's what we've been having these meetings, these prayer meetings for. Amen. We're not here just to say, well, just to say we prayed. No, we're making power available. We're making power available. Go over there to James chapter number 5. If I won't take much longer here, but if we can understand this, It'll give meaning to what we're doing rather than just, you know, religious motions. We're going through religious motions. No, no, we're power brokers. We're not going to see moves of God and people born again and healed and moves of God without being participants in it, number one, but also being a laborer with God in it. So James here, it says in chapter 5, we read these verses or refer to them a lot. It says in verse number 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now notice the context. In verse 17, Elias, that's Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, you might say, well, who am I? I'm just human, and, you know, I don't. No, Elijah was just human. He had humanity. He had fleshly things to deal with. But look at the power he made available. Start and stop rain. And the context here is he's saying we have that kind of standing with God through prayer where we can start things and stop things. Someone said, I thought God was running it all. Well, you thought wrong. We're starting things and stopping things. Not outside of God's will. We find out what his will is, and then we set ourselves to lay hold of it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And say, no, we're going to have the will of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're going to have seasons of revival. We're going to have time of refreshing. We're going to have harvest because it's time of harvest. We're going to have rain because he said, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and so shall.
Amen.
So shall. So shall the Lord. The so shall the Lord as a result of so shall we pray. So he was like subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly, say earnestly. So this isn't a little, you know, let's grab hands and pray in the name of Jesus, amen, and we walk out the door. This is yielding to the Spirit. This is a Holy Ghost burning thing in the Spirit, and we yield to it in the Holy Ghost. And we pray it out. It's written about in also in Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit takes hold together with us against. King James says, helpeth our infirmities. But the Greek takes hold together with us against our infirmities. When we see what God's will is and we start to take hold of it, the Holy Ghost takes hold with us. Because that's what prayer is. Listen to me very carefully. I'm getting to James, but listen to me very carefully. Prayer is at least three things. Listen to me. Prayer, we've been talking about in the main church services. We've been talking about the fact that we should be fellowshipping with our Father. Prayer is fellowshipping with our Father. Then number two, it is asking. That's part of prayer, isn't it? Number three, are you listening to me? Number one, it's fellowshipping with our Father. Number two, it's asking. Number two, it is laying hold of his will. In other words, we are laborers together in carrying out his will on the earth. That one is what we're here to do tonight. That's what we're here to do tonight. It is fellowshipping with our Father. It's asking. And then it's laying hold of his will or carrying out his will on the earth. That's what Elijah was doing here, wasn't it? He was laying hold. God said that there's not going to be rain. And then according to James here, he also prayed that time. We don't have record of that in the Old Testament, but we do see that James said he did. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Amen. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's to stop the rain. Then verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what's he doing? He finds out God's plan, and then he says, I'm not going to just sit and twiddle my thumbs. I'm going to be a laborer together with God in this, because he knew also that God still needs to work. He needs man to work with him for things to come to pass on the earth. Does that make any sense? Hallelujah. So What we see here is that the context is, we're to be, verse number 16, we're to be doing the same things. But can you see the context? We're to be doing the same things. He said, pray, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he uses Elijah as an example. He's talking to us and say, we're to be doing the same things. We're to be starting things and stopping things. We're to be finding out what God's plan is and getting in the Spirit and praying, laying hold of that and bringing that to pass. Yeah. It won't come to pass just because God said it. Amen. God needs laborers down here to lay hold of it. Now go to Philippians chapter number 3. We're skimming quickly over the top of this, but you've got enough of the Word in you to understand this, so we're not digging real deep. Philippians 3, it says in verse 12, Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, I've found out what God's plan is for my life, but I keep laying hold of that. I've got to lay hold of God's plan. The word apprehend means, many other translations will say lay hold of it. And so God has a plan, but somebody has to lay hold of it. We lay hold of things by faith, but also by prayer. There are some things you can't just name it and claim it and then go your way. And you got to yield to this supplication. In the last two sessions of prayer for that, we've been talking about supplication some. And it is a yielding as the Spirit gives you utterance in prayer. Amen. It requires that. In fact, that's one of the missing ingredients in the body of Christ. And this thing has been being delayed that God has planned for this time, this era. Well, we got to enter into prayer and agree with God on it. Now, one of the things I said that God wants to do in these meetings, of course, salvation. We've been praying about that. Those individuals we're inviting and so forth. But right on the other hand, another thing he wants to do is healing. Big time. And I've learned, in fact, the context here in James 5:16 talks about it. I've learned when it comes to healing that not only do faith and healing go together, but prayer and healing go together. You got to hear that statement. Not only does faith and healing go together, but prayer and healing go together. In fact, I'll be honest with you. It's good to be honest. The greatest healings in our ministry by far, there's been, I've told you many of those stories over the years. I mean, not recently, but over the years. Man raised from the dead, heart stopped, you know. Things that are most outstanding. Screws melting out of people's ankles and things. Greatest healings I've had by far over the years, all of them were connected to a season of prayer. And I don't mean the prayer of faith. I mean praying earnestly in the Spirit. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Those are things we have to understand. When the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin about starting a healing school, he spoke to him to have a prayer and healing center. There's a reason for that, because they go together. Somebody say, where's that in the Word? Well, we just read it. James 5:16, we just read it. James 5:16, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. He said the context here is pray one for another that you may be healed. Isn't that right? The effectual, fervent prayer. The Greek word for prayer there is the Greek word supplication, translated throughout the New Testament, supplication. This is not the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is mentioned right before that, in verse number 14 and 15. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall, it says save, that's the same Greek word translated heal, heal the sick. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. There's faith and healing. The prayer of faith and healing. And the Lord shall raise him up. Then he said, confess your faults to one another. Pray one for another. And that's a totally different kind of prayer. That's the Greek word supplication. which is a totally different kind of prayer. The prayer of faith is not a prayer of supplication. The word supplication, the Amplified brings it out, has to do with, in fact, it's used in Romans 8:26, excuse me, where it talks about the supplication is done in the Spirit. Boy, if I had time. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. But it's something that is done in the Spirit, praying a heartfelt, continued, earnest prayer out of your heart, and it's continued. Paul said that he prayed for the churches, and over again, he said, I cease not to pray for you. It wasn't a one-time name it and claim it and speak the make your confession kind of thing. He kept on praying. And every time in the Greek, it's the Greek word supplication. It has to do with yielding to tongues, praying things out. Amen. That's what, although he wasn't praying in tongues, that's what Elijah did in his own language back there. He prayed that out. You ever heard that term, praying things out? Praying things through? Amen. There's a multitude of things I wish I could talk about that we've prayed through here at the church. You can't always talk about it. Someone was listening to some series of meetings I did in another place, and they said, man, you told a lot more stories. I said, yeah, they don't know who I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about people to them. I'm just telling stories. They have no clue. I wish I could tell my congregation those stories. But as soon as you get to talking about them, there's going to be half the congregation say, oh, I know who he's talking about. And I'm not trying to put them in a bad light. So I just don't tell the story. Oh, I'd love to tell about 1,000 more. But see, the truth is that prayer is being made. This kind of prayer is being done for Spirit of Faith Family Church in a lot of ways. In my prayer life, others' prayer life, and things are being accomplished. But we can't always talk about it. Some things we do. But are you still out there? Get that statement. I found, because we're going to zero in on the move of God that we want for, that God wants to move in this meeting in the area of salvation, healing, setting people free from bondages, and those kinds of things. Because God wants to do that. But not only, it's not just a matter of we're going to come believe God. Well, yeah, for your own life. But there are people here that don't know how to do that. That we're going to have to make a supply of the Spirit available to them. It makes a tremendous power available. Isn't that right? And don't forget Philippians 1:19. I can't hardly preach on prayer, talk about prayer without Philippians 1:19. This will turn to my salvation. He's talking about getting set free from jail. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You can make such power available to people for healing that it'll almost happen without their faith. Now, they can go with their way and lose it because of their unbelief. But do you remember that story about Brother Hagin praying the power down on that lady in the wheelchair? Lifted her out of the chair, moved her in front of the chair. Brother Hagin said, I think he said it was 12 inches or 18 inches. I forget what he said. He said, I'm a witness to it. He said, other people witnessed it. We prayed until the power fell on that lady, lifted her out of her wheelchair and moved her in front of her wheelchair, and she suspended in midair. And she said, and she reached back for her chair and went back in, kerplunk. Brother Hagin said, you don't have an ounce of faith for, talking about for your healing, do you? And she said, no, Brother Hagin, I'll go to my grave in this chair. And she did. Wasn't because there wasn't power there to heal her. That's what I want to see right here at Spirit of Faith Family Church. I mean, people just that. Enough power and manifestation here just blows things off of people. Amen. Now, see, you can understand how the healing revival, remember the estimate, the figures, something like 70% of those people lost their healing. Why? Well, see, it wasn't their faith. What God wants to do in this era is the Word and the Spirit. That's what this is all about. Word and Spirit. Because without the Word, people's faith is not built and they won't stay. They won't keep it. But it's not just Word. It's Word and Spirit. Word and signs and wonders. Stretch forth your hand to heal that signs and wonders be done. I mean, tremendous, powerful things. Get people out of wheelchairs and off of stretchers and people that are full of tubes and half dead brought in here on ambulances and raised up, walking and leaping and praising God and running out and telling their neighbors and telling everybody else. So we got to get a bigger building and we got to... Come on! Well, God wants to do that, doesn't He? Sure, He needs people to pray it out. He needs people to pray it out. Amen. You know, we can have just a good meeting, you know, and say, well, that was good. Or we can just have a blowout. Not the good or the acceptable, but the perfect will of God. Where we leave and we're like, ooh, our spirits are so satisfied. That's what I want. How about you? Well, you're here, and that's proof that's what you want too. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so that's why we set ourselves in. Because without prayer, power can be made available only to a small degree. Or maybe just a little bit of prayer made available to a small degree. But when we actually know what we're doing and lay hold of it fully, then we're going to see God's highest and His best. We're going to get the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Get the best. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to just get part of God's plan in these meetings. I want to get it all. Hallelujah. I don't want to just say, well, somebody said, how were the meetings? Oh, they're good. I don't want to do that. Do you? Huh? What are we saying? By doing that, we're saying we didn't quite get it all. You know what? I'm going to get it all. When we say, oh, they were good, we were saying we didn't quite get there. You know, the power wasn't available to the worship team to flow right, and so it didn't connect with the minister, and so the minister was off kelter, and I mean, he didn't get in the flow he needed to get in, and there wasn't enough prayer to keep the stuff out of the service that tries to hinder the service and the flow of the Spirit. You know, people are going to come in with all kinds of thoughts and ideas, but we can make enough power available to where it stops at the door while they come on in. And they get into something they've never been in, and if it was up to them, they wouldn't have had it. But we prayed. Does this make you hungry to pray or what? Hallelujah. And so prayer makes these things available, makes power available. And go over to Luke 5 and we'll start wrapping this up here. Don't lose that statement that I've learned that there's not only a connection between faith and healing, but prayer and healing. Amen. You can bring the power of God into manifestation either way. Amen. Well, I started saying Brother Hagin was led to start prayer and healing school because they go together. They go together. Hallelujah. There was a lady, you're going to Luke 5, but there was a lady at that came to healing school before I got there. I was not in this meeting, but I heard all about it. That came from Egypt. She was royalty. She was in the ruling family. I don't know what their government, I guess it's the same government now. I don't know much about Egypt, but... But anyway, there's, you know, a lot of these countries have like kings and ruling families, or, you know, it's kind of a watered down version nowadays. A lot of things, kind of remnants of what past times were like. But anyway, she was in this royal family or whatever. She was a wife of somebody in the royalty, somebody in the hierarchy or whatever. And but she got cancer, and somebody gave her a book by Brother Hagin about divine healing, or the new birth, I think it was. I think it was the new birth. I could have some of these details wrong, but... But anyway, she contacted the ministry. I think she had been born again and got hold of new birth, if I remember right. And then she contacted the ministry and said, if I came over there, would you pray for me? Brother Hagin, would you pray for me? He said, yeah, sure. Yeah. And first, because she was dying of cancer. So they brought her over, had her entourage and everything, the garb and everything, Muslims, whatever, you know, the garb and everything. And Brother Hagin was praying about, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord said, you bring her into prayer and healing school and let everybody pray until the power falls, and then you minister to her. So I heard all about it. I wish I'd have been in that meeting. They prayed. They didn't necessarily gather around her in a circle because they didn't want her to feel uncomfortable, but they all got to praying in the Spirit, and they prayed, and the power fell. And then Brother Hagin got up and went over and laid his hands on her and said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." He completely healed of cancer. Just a baby Christian, didn't know anything about faith, but completely healed of cancer. Hallelujah. That's what we're to be doing concerning these meetings. But it's not limited to these meetings. How about our just regular church services? My. Look at Luke 5. I didn't intend to go this long, but you've heard that before too. Luke 5. Ooh, glory. It's starting to hit. It's hitting. This is whenever they let that man down through the roof. Remember, they besought means to bring him in, and they couldn't. So they let him down through the roof. But notice, the man was healed. Remember, he said, he saw verse 20, he saw their faith. He said to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," and eventually rise up and be healed. And he was healed. But what I wanted you to see in verse 17, came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, so then powers, what does it mean it's present? Well, it's always present, but it's not always in manifestation. Makes King James in the Amplified, actually, the Amplified says in James 5:16, makes tremendous power available. Well, God's power is everywhere. Why wouldn't it be available? What he's talking about is something has to happen to bring it into manifestation, and then that's when it's available. It's available. Its potential to come into manifestation is there all the time. But some people don't do anything to bring it into manifestation. But when it comes into manifestation, then it's available. That's what he's saying. In one sense, it's always available. But when it's in manifestation, it's available to do something now. And so that power, Jesus ministering the word, was under the anointing to minister and teach. And that power came into manifestation. Nobody there got healed except that man that came in down through the roof. And he got healed on his faith. But I wanted you to see here's what the Lord showed me about this years ago. You can bring people right, you can bring the power of God down through your prayer life onto other people's lives to where everything they need is available for them to lay hold of. But that's as far as you can go. Then it's because notice, other people, Jesus being the one here, brought this power, maybe his disciples, whoever was there, brought this power into manifestation, right? But that's as far as they could go. The four friends that let him down through the roof, they brought him right into the presence of God, right into that anointing. But that's as far as they could go. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, they used their faith to get him into that power. They used their faith to get that power in manifestation, but then it was just up to the man. So we're going to use our faith tonight to bring that power into manifestation in these meetings, and it's going to be up to people to respond and receive. But we're going to give them every opportunity. And some of them will just simply lay hold of it. They might not know much about faith, but they'll say, "I'll take that." Be signs and wonders. And so that's what that's what Acts is talking about when he said, "Stretch forth your hand to heal." Remember they prayed in Acts 4, "Stretch forth your hand to heal. The signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus." Let's pray about that tonight. Let's stand to our feet.